As we each prepare ourselves to partake of the spread and wine, we look now to our brother David to help us in that way by giving us words of exhortation. Brother David.
Thank you, Brother Kevin. Good morning again, my dear brothers and sisters. Names. Our names. Let's think about our name for a minute. Well, you know my name. I'm Brother David Fry. My middle name is Rhys Fry. Okay? Now, I've been labelled with that name. I have been. Because a name conjures with it thoughts of that individual, of that character. I don't know why my parents chose David, but I know what it means. It means beloved. So maybe when I was born, they thought, oh, there's a beloved child. And then you think, well, why Rhys? Well, there's a Welsh connection there somewhere. And Fry being that name of my surname, of my family. So then it just really got me thinking then about, well, unfortunately the Welsh for David is Dai Bach, and my father likes to keep reminding me of that all the time. But where I'm really trying to get our thoughts to think about is about what's contained within that name. And what I mean by name is not just our names, but when I say a name to you, what does that name conjure in your mind? Now, obviously Thomas 2 years ago was born, and you have to pick a name for a child. It's never an easy task, because you're then sitting there and going, no, we can't name him that, because there was somebody, I knew another child like that. You know, we can't name a child. School teachers have a very difficult time naming children, because all that they can think about is the naughty name of that child. Or we can't call him Alexander, because I used to know an Alexander. It's because of what that name does. And a name means something different to everybody in this meeting. Yet to mention another's name, whether awake or asleep in Christ, conjures in our minds a wide range of emotions, a wide range of memories brought about by our association with them and their conduct and conversation of life when they were near us. Some of these are endearing emotions and thoughts that we may have of them. For example, she was a lovely sister, a true mother in Israel. Or what about, he was a wonderful brother and his wisdom and kindness will be missed. It's a very much of what that name means to us. Whilst others bring emotions of critical, we can be often critical about that name, as I gave you examples. So this indicates to us that there is much more involved of each of us when we mention is made of that name given by our parents. In former years, both surname and Christian names were chosen as descriptive of the person, as those in Christ. And it's quite an interesting culture change, because in Nepal, they choose their name. So when they are baptized, they choose their Christian name to then be associated. And that's quite an interesting concept, that you now can choose to decide that name that you want to. I can think of Brother Reuben, Sister Sarah, prior to their life, have now chosen that life in Christ. So they continue this practice and receive a new name, a Christian name, which readily identifies themselves as belonging to Christ in the society in which they live. Though this tradition is no longer prevalent in the world in which we live, nevertheless, each of us, by our own choice in time past, have chosen for ourselves a new name. So we all here today have chosen a new name. And each sharing the same, a Christian name in the true sense, when we were baptized into the saving name of the Lord Jesus Christ. From that point, we benefited from a new start in life, of being born again with sins forgiven. Thereafter, rather than conforming to this world, we have endeavoured to be transformed by the renewing of our minds and walking in newness of life. With this new name we bear, and this name we all consciously chose. So that was the name that we've chosen. We bear that new name. And this name we all have chosen, we are committed ourselves to Christ by baptism. And the Apostle Paul in Colossians, if you'll turn there with me, spoke of those buried with Christ in baptism. Colossians and chapter 2. So here he makes allusion to the circumcision of the newborn Hebrew child, who on the eighth day, a day when the name of the child was declared to others, and when first instituted in Genesis chapter 17, was part of the confirmation of the covenant of God, when Abraham's name was also changed to Abraham. For speaking to those in Christ, he wrote in 2 Colossians and chapter 11, chapter 2 and verse 11, in whom also ye are circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, in putting off of the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, wherein ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. And you, being dead in your sins and the circumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgotten you all trespasses. So you see, it was by our baptism that we too have received a new name and embraced the covenants of promise, and correspondingly, over time, have endeavoured to put off the body of sin of the flesh and being dead to sin, that we might be God's adopted children, carrying the name of Jesus in one family with one father and one head. We are, brothers and sisters, in God's eyes, a unique family. In fact, a group of families all claiming descent from the same father, of which the Apostle Paul speaks of in Ephesians and chapter 3. If you go there with me, just over back to Ephesians and chapter 3. And verse 14. Ephesians 3 and verse 14. For this cause, or this tribulation, I, Paul, bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom, verse 15, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. And what is the obligation of being in this family? Verse 17. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. So it is, brothers and sisters, that as we said, we read in verse 15, that we are the whole family in heaven and we are in earth named. And how are we known? Is we know we are known through the love of Christ. For it has always been the Father's desire to name that which is his. He's done since the beginning of time, when first he gave to Adam the privilege of naming all that was brought out of the ground. For we read in Genesis chapter 2 verse 16, and he brought them unto Adam to see that he would call them, and whatsoever Adam called every creature, that was the name thereof. So it's quite lovely, really, to think about that actually God, in his wisdom, in his infinite wisdom, even from the point of creation, calls the names, chooses the names of those things before him. Indeed, what a challenge, but yet what a privilege lay before Adam. Names doubtless descriptive of the perhaps colour, noise, smell, or shape. Shakespeare says, a rose by any other name would never smell so sweet. The psalmist also reminds us in Psalm 147 how that God telleth the number of the stars and calleth them all by names. We notice also how often in Scripture those who are named by God himself, like John, Ishmael, Isaac, Solomon, and Jesus, and others whose names are changed by God, like Abraham, Sarai, and Jacob, or others who were named on the basis of their parents' aspirations, like Daniel, Ethaniel, Isaiah, and Ezekiel. Yet prominent in all Scripture is the naming of the children. It is the mother who takes preeminence over the father. For us, however, it is the wisdom of Solomon in Proverbs 22, which ascribes to the true value of our name, a certain preference, which I'm sure we would all endorse, something that is deemed in the wisdom of God to be better than anything that is this world has to offer. Turn there with me, please. Just one verse, Proverbs 22. And this really comes back to my opening remarks about that name. About the name that we have. Because we have in Proverbs 22 and verse 1. A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches and loving favour than silver and gold. It's just one verse that can reiterate to us the power of the name which we have today. It's that good name. A good name is rather than to be chosen than great riches and loving favour. And how well we value a good name. That recollection of our name brings only pleasant memories and healthy thoughts, even loving favour. It's quite a powerful idea to consider that what does that good name. And I guess it's that good name which we endeavour to embrace. You see, the choice is ours. For our name can represent pride, arrogance, jealousy, or one of patience, sincerity, kindness, and gentleness. We have that ability to choose what our name represents. How sad would it be if we were only remembered with the unpleasant thoughts of things done or said in times gone by? It's very unique that actually, if you think about it, at birth we have no reputation. So as children, there is no association with that name. It is only as we go through our life that we develop that new name for ourselves, that reputation or that label. That name. A name which I'm sure we desire to be one of kindness and love, of thoughtfulness and understanding, and above all life demonstration of the works of the Spirit rather than the works of the flesh. In Ecclesiastes we read that the wise man again enhances our understanding of the true value of our name when he writes, "A good name is better than precious ointment, and the day of death than the day of one's birth." Because it's true that at the beginning of our birth, we had no reputation. We had no name. But yet it's at the point of death where we are more reflective, where we are more considering of that person's life. So without doubt, the latter sentiment of this verse is often brought home when we lay to rest a loved one. For it is then that we remember their name after their race has run. When the trials and challenges of life are over, when prolonged suffering comes to its end, when their name is finally set, hopefully by then we might also have the same confidence as the Apostle Paul, who was persuaded that God was able to keep that which had been committed unto him against that day. For a good name, a name of good repute, has a sweet fragrance far more pervasive than any perfume, far more enduring than any ointment, for it transcends the passing of time, even the grave, for it is disposed with God against that name. So even though our brothers and sisters who are no longer with us, their name is not forgotten. Do we not all desire a good name above anything else? For a good name comes from the receipt of divine wisdom. With Brother Robert Roberts, this is said, it is the correct use of knowledge, of knowing God's ways. And as we read in Proverbs, it is more desirable than anything that this world can offer, whether silver or gold or precious ointment. To know God and to be acceptable to him is to know his name. And this means a demonstration in our lives of his attributes and his qualities, so that then he might know our name, because he witnesses these same qualities within each of us. When Moses was asked of God to bring the people out of Egypt, he anticipated their inquiry of the people to know the name of God, that they might be persuaded to follow him, for he knew they would ask. In Exodus chapter 3, we are said, Moses says, "So what is his name?" Then he asks God, "What shall I say to them?" And God replied, "I am that I am." Moses was indeed privileged to know the name of God, because he had found grace in his eyes. And by this grace, God gave him a special blessing. For we read in Exodus 33, "For thou hast found grace in my sight. I know thee by name." We have all arrived in the family of God by different routes and at different times. By divine providence, we were called. When God visited the Gentiles to take out from them a people for his name. Most of our family now rest from their labours, but their works do follow them. Their names are not forgotten, but written in the book of life. The New Jerusalem, to which we all desire to belong, is more than a city of stones and mortar. It constitutes a people whose names are known of God, of immortalized saints, God's family, sons and daughters of the living God, all bearing the name or of Christ by baptism, children of the resurrection, and children of promise, all desiring that one day we might repeat the words of the psalmist, where we read, "As we have heard, so have we seen in the city of the Lord of hosts, in the city of our God, which God will establish forever." We are to be this new Jerusalem, this unique family, the spiritual body of Christ, deathless, powerful, clean, pure, holy, and divine, blessed of the Lord. We read from Revelation in chapter 3, it says, "Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out, and I will write upon him the name of my God, and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God. And I will write upon him my new name." So to receive this new name engraved or written necessitates that now is the time to bear his name in the conduct of our life in Christ, so that when our Lord returns, he will know us and know our name, that we might answer when he calls. We meet because we know and believe that it is possible to become part of these things through the Lord Jesus Christ, who we remember this morning. He who manifested the Father's name as no other. For it was by his faithfulness, even to the point of death, and by his sacrifice, that he was to obtain a name that is above every other name. So it is we come to remember the one before us with the bread and wine. In Philippians and chapter 2, where it states, "Who was fashioned as a man, who humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death on the cross, whereby God hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father."